Welcome to Hub and Flow, a podcast produced by Natural Gas Intelligence. On a mission to provide transparency to the natural gas market, Hub and Flow focuses on key fundamentals driving the price of natural gas and LNG in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Natural Gas Intelligence, or NGI, is a subscription-based price reporting agency, which means we provide trusted and independent natural gas pricing and news for the North American market.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of NGI's Hub and Flow podcast. I'm Jameson Coughlin, Managing Editor of LNG. Today, I'm joined by Neil Chatterjee, former Chairman and Commissioner of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and currently an energy attorney at global law firm Hogan Lovells. Welcome, Neil. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you're no stranger to LNG or the regulatory process, obviously. I mean, I know you work with clients across the LNG value chain. And as a matter of fact, I think you had a hand in helping to streamline FERC's LNG review and approval process. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. When I first took my seat at the commission, you know, it was an exciting time in U.S. energy. You know, when I first came to Washington, D.C. as a junior staffer working on the Energy Policy Act of 2003, which ultimately became the Energy Policy Act of 2005, we were contemplating building LNG import facilities in the U.S. To come a decade later, to find ourselves in a position where the U.S. could become a net exporter of energy for the first time in 60 years was very exciting. But I was nervous that FERC would be the bottleneck that could potentially prevent the U.S. from taking advantage of this global opportunity, particularly when it comes to long-term contracting. So we worked really hard to kind of streamline our processes, to broker an MOU with PHMSA to eliminate duplicative regulation, and then ultimately did some old-school, old-fashioned bipartisan negotiating and brokered a bipartisan agreement with my Democratic colleagues to move some projects forward. And ultimately, I think we got more than a dozen applications reviewed and approved during my tenure as chair of the commission.
Yeah, times have certainly changed. I mean, obviously, the U.S. is the world's largest LNG exporter now. And this is why I wanted to bring you on to kind of help us as we keep unpacking the Biden administration's pause on approving LNG exports to non-free trade agreement countries. By NGI's count, we see this impacting at least seven projects that are commercially advanced. And obviously, there are many more that are seeking an export license. And this has also kind of become a political and regulatory firestorm in a lot of ways. I caught your comments last week, Neil, when the LNG Allies and AXPC released their study showing the benefits of burning LNG versus other imports overseas like pipeline gas or coal. And you said at that event, the administration's pause is likely illegal. Why do you think that? Let's dive in there.
Yeah, so look, you've got 16 states that are suing the federal government on the grounds that the pause is causing irreparable damage. Now, no courts have ruled, but Louisiana's AG did say that the pause itself has no basis in law and that it's an unlawful act by the Biden administration. So the fact that the pause is being challenged legally on various grounds, you know, that was kind of my core point. And beyond that, you know, the reality is under the Natural Gas Act, it requires positive action from DOE if a project is found to be in the public interest, and the AGs are using that same logic.
Okay. So pivoting a little bit, when I step back and I think about all this, I kind of have to wonder whether this was a prudent move by the Biden administration, despite the fact that, you know, the election is clearly factored into this. You've currently got seven LNG facilities operating in the U.S. There's another five that are under construction. And I think there's something like two dozen more export plants that are in various stages of development. I mean, this is unprecedented for the United States. So, I mean, from a regulatory perspective, despite all the previous studies that DOE has conducted on this stuff, isn't this a good time to take a closer look at whether all these projects are in the public interest?
Look, that's for FERC and DOE to decide. We want them to decide to act or to don't act, to not decide to pause work on the applications is just, to me, completely unacceptable. FERC is a professional agency. It's an independent agency. It rises above politics. I can tell you, as someone who has overseen the processing of these applications that at times can run north of 50,000 pages. It is a rigorous process. It is an expensive process, and much goes into it. And so FERC is not supposed to be subject to politics, and DOE under the law is supposed to act if FERC finds a project to be in the public interest. I just find this pause to be purely political. And, you know, the reality is I actually think the Biden administration is misreading the politics on this. I think they were caught off guard by their approving the Willow project in Alaska and the blowback that they got from environmentalists, and have ever since been throwing everything against the wall to try to appease their base. What they're misunderstanding about the politics of this is I think they believe that this hits Louisiana, this hits Texas, this hits the Gulf, because that's where these facilities would be located. What they're missing is that, you know, these facilities often take up to 10,000 people to construct, and they create jobs throughout the value chain. And there are pipe fitters and manufacturers and the folks who make component parts in states like Ohio and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania that the president is going to need to get reelected. So I think not only is this bad policy, I also think it's bad politics.
Okay. I want to come back to that. I mean, you mentioned that President Biden is misstepping here and trying to appease his base. Come back to that in a little bit. But you had mentioned there in your comments that FERC is an independent agency, right? And so when you stop and you think about this pause, I guess, technically should really only impact DOE. But kind of a related matter here, Venture Global's CP2 project hasn't been approved by FERC yet. It's a big project. It's been kind of a scapegoat for environmental groups as they target the U.S. LNG build-out. But I think this is one of the longest periods an LNG project has been pending at FERC. It's something like 8 months now. Why is that? I mean, what do you think is taking so long there?
You know, I think there's a couple of things. The commission was deadlocked on gas projects last year. There were 2-2, and it was interesting. It wasn't a partisan deadlock. You had the Democratic chair of the commission and one of the Republican commissioners who had agreed upon a path forward to approve projects. And then you had a Democratic commissioner and a Republican commissioner who, for very, very different reasons, were opposing gas projects. The Democratic commissioner thought the commission hadn't gone far enough to assess things like need and significance of emissions and upstream and downstream emissions. And you had a Republican commissioner that felt that the commission had gone too far in addressing some of these things. And so that just deadlocked things. And as somebody, you know, who has experience working at the commission, when things get tied up, staff tends to put their pens down because there's so much other work to do. So I think that may be some of the cause of the delay. But I'm really hopeful, and I'm actually confident that the chair of the commission, Willie Phillips, who's done a really admirable job in the face of intense political pressure and has done excellent work running the agency, I'm optimistic that when the staff completes their review and they complete their work and all the questions are answered, that they will act in due course on CP2. I really, truly don't believe and really hope that they don't fall prey to the macro politics of the White House announcing this DOE pause. If this similar situation had been replicated when I was chair and say I hadn't acted on FERC Order 2222 to open up competitive wholesale power markets to aggregated distributed energy resources, there would have been an outcry. But I, despite the fact that there were a lot of Republicans who were opposed to FERC Order 2222, I acted because it was the right thing to do and the work was done and it was a legally sound proposal. And I hope Chairman Phillips takes the same action here. But I think the cause of the delay was likely the fact that with the commission deadlocked 2-2, staff just put their pens down, is my guess.
Okay, so it was more around that issue, that emissions issue and how to advance projects and the deadlock rather than the pause. I think that's an important distinction here for sure.
That is my outside observation. Obviously, FERC has very strict ex parte communications rules, so I do not have any insight into the current internal deliberations are. I am basing this on my experience with these types of situations.
Right. Okay. So I touched on the election a little bit earlier, and we talked about maybe Biden appeasing his base here a little bit. environmental groups, you know, social media influencers, and others have kind of waged this very concerted campaign to stop the U.S. LNG buildout. And this pause has come partly in response to that. So let me ask you this. If President Biden is reelected in November, would you expect the pace of LNG project approvals to speed up as he shifts his focus elsewhere? Or do you see this kind of this foot dragging continuing through the remainder of his time in office?
Yeah, I just think the geopolitical pressure, the economic pressure will be too significant. I think this is pure politics, and they just need to get through the election. I think regardless of what happens in the election, I think LNG is going to move forward. There's too much momentum behind it. And our allies need it. Look, the Biden administration made a promise to our European allies that they would be there. And in many ways, we've been saving Europe the past couple of years as they look to move away from Russian gas in the face of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. So I just think that when you look at the economic benefits domestically, the geopolitical benefits of giving our allies an alternative to Russian gas, and the environmental benefits of U.S. LNG, we do it cleaner and better than anybody else, displacing more carbon-intense sources of fuel overseas. It's a win-win-win. And I think once the Biden administration, if they can get through the election, I think they will expose that this was pure politics and will resume approving these things in due course. They'll probably put some kind of report out to give themselves cover, to say that they did the analysis and found that the environmental impacts are such that these projects are still in the public interest. They'll have to cover themselves. But I fully expect they'll go back to reviewing those projects. And should former President Trump win the election, I have no doubt that FERC and DOE will immediately move to resume the lawful consideration of these projects.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, it should be noted, too, that there's been a wave of contracts that have been signed by overseas buyers to, you know, take more U.S. LNG. And there's been, you know, infrastructure that's getting constructed overseas. So,
and that, well, that's a really important point, right? Because we are a provider with good credibility. And countries can trust us. They can trust that we will continue to honor our commitments for energy delivery and that we honor our financial commitments. It's our rule of law that makes us a very attractive partner. And so when Russia invaded Ukraine, the EU could count on the United States for energy resources, and we acted fast. And about 85% of our LNG went to Europe once the war started. And so I think that is a really, really important point, that our credibility matters. And that's why it's another reason why I'm so upset about this pause.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the direction I was headed in here. I mean, you work with clients in the LNG space. I mean, what do they think of the pause? I mean, what has it meant for their businesses? I mean, what are you hearing about this in your conversations?
Yeah, I think, it causes disruptions in terms of like long-term contracting, because what it does is it sends a mixed signal about what the future is for gas in the U.S. So one of the arguments that was made is, well, this pause only applies to pending applications, and there are several projects that are in the process of going to FID and will be constructed, and therefore this won't affect Europe or Asia in the short term. This is a longer term proposition. These other projects are going to move forward. What that fails to account for is that when it comes to long-term contracting, these off-takers need assurance that these contracts will be honored. And I think this type of thing sends the wrong message to our allies. And I've heard from folks, from allies in Japan, throughout Europe, in India, and elsewhere, that, you know, there is this element of uncertainty about what the long-term future for gas will be in the United States. And the administration is kind of talking out both sides of their mouth. On the one hand, promising our European allies that we'll be there for them, and then on the other hand, creating this uncertainty.
Okay. I think I want to wrap up here with one more question for you, Neil. I mean, you talk about the long-term future of gas in the United States, and obviously there's a push underway overseas to, you know, transition towards net zero emissions. And the industry seems to constantly be on its toes and battling things in one way or another. So, I mean, do you think that the industry should be doing more to combat this narrative about LNG that's coming from environmental groups as they target the sector? I mean, do you think that there's an image problem that the industry should be getting ahead of here if they still can?
Look, when it comes to industry image, I think most people understand that we need baseload energy resources. And natural gas is a transportation fuel, a power generation fuel, and it can complement renewable resources. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And that's a message that's being advanced by many realists in our industry. And so, you know, we have groups like LNG Allies and the American Petroleum Institute and others who are working to highlight that message about U.S. natural gas. And so we just got to make sure that we focus on two things that environmental groups are not telling you. And that is that global demand for energy is rising and natural gas producers are reducing emissions, period. This is about emissions reduction and managing what people around the world need, which is reliable energy resources. And the narrative cannot exclude legitimate energy resources. It should advance the idea of diversity, but I believe that all energy resources have a place in meeting global demand, full stop.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's a good place to leave it. And I think that does it for today. Thanks again for joining us, Neil. And thanks to all of you for listening to NGI's Hub and Flow podcast.
Dependable data drives informed business decisions. Trust NGI to provide your natural gas and LNG data for North America. If your business requires daily, weekly, or bid-week pricing data, forward curves, or flow data, NGI has a reliable product suite to support you. Visit natgasintel.com/services to understand what we have to offer and how we can help you and your business today. Thank you for listening to NGI's Hub and Flow podcast today. We encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it, and please do share it with your colleagues. A trusted provider of natural gas news, data, and pricing information for North America, NGI offers subscription-based products. Please visit natgasintel.com if you are interested in NGI and our services. If you would like to dive deeper into this subject, additional resources are available on our website as well. Just visit natgasintel.com and click on the resources tab to find the podcast page.